Venus shines bright at sunset all month with Mars nearby, while Saturn, Jupiter, and even Mercury shine in the mornings. And the Beehive Cluster gets 2 wandering guests. All of this in the solstice month of June of 2023.
Welcome to Absorbing What's Web, where a high school astronomy teacher tells you what you're looking at, why it's so cool, and what you should check out later this month at night.
Thanks, Socorso. This is my son, Socorso, guest co-hosting with me today.
Hey, y'all.
So summer has started, and of course, what do? We talk astronomy and record stuff. How does that sound, bud?
Good, I guess. What I'm really looking forward to is STEM camp.
Oh, yeah. We'll do STEM camp later. But, yeah. So, here we are. We're going to talk to you a little bit about June of 2023. And we'll start with the planets. Then we'll talk about the moon and some of the events going on there. And then we'll talk about some constellations. So, here we go. So I like to start the planets with the sunset planets. And so we start off looking at Venus. And all you have to do is look west after sunset, and it'll be the brightest object and probably the brightest, quote, star that you will see. And it's about 30 degrees above the horizon. That's about 3 fist widths. Now, you do have to get out there at least before 11 p.m. because it sets between midnight and 11, which is actually pretty late for Venus. It's doing really well way up high up there. And also get your looks in now, because once August starts, your view of Venus in the evening will disappear. And in order to see it, you'll have to get up in the mornings of September. Now, so of course, have you been seeing Venus out there?
I forget if it's Jupiter or Venus.
It's Venus.
Okay.
But on all of our baseball nights, we've been noticing when we're on the ride home, we see it. It's bright. The first thing you can see out there, just absolutely gorgeous. So go ahead and take a look and see if you can find Venus.
Venus now, is really bright.
Oh, yeah. Now, the other sunset planet is Mars. Now, Mars, you kind of want to look west and about 5 or 10 degrees up and to the left of Venus. So you have to find Venus first. But that's an easy one to find. So look 5 or 10 degrees up and to the left of Venus, and you'll see a dull reddish dot in the sky, and it's hanging out in the constellation of Cancer, and it's slowly moving throughout the month toward Leo. And this one also sets between midnight and 11 p.m. We haven't really looked at Mars, have we?
No.
And in fact, it's not the best telescopic object, but, you know, it's up there, it's cool, it's red, so... Sunset, you got 2 planets, Venus and Mars. Now, throughout the night, we don't really have any planets, but in the morning, we have 3. And from left to right, they will be Mercury, Jupiter, and Saturn. So let's start with the highest one that's out the most. That would be Saturn. At the beginning of the month, it's rising at 1:30 a.m. in the east-southeast, and it's about 30 degrees above the southeast horizon by dawn. Now, by the end of the month, it rises at 11:30 p.m. in the same spot, east-southeast, but then it gets about 40 degrees above the southern horizon by dawn at the end of the month. And it's usually about 60 degrees to the right of Jupiter. Okay? So then we go to Jupiter. So you got to move about 60 degrees to the left of Saturn. And at the beginning of the month, Jupiter rises at 4 a.m. in the east, and it is about 15 degrees above the eastern horizon by dawn. And by the end of the month, it rises at 2 a.m. in the east and is 35 degrees above the eastern horizon at dawn. So Jupiter is starting to rise a little bit earlier. And is getting more easily seen. And then lastly, we've got Mercury. And that's only for the first 3 weeks in June. Mercury will be less than 10 degrees above the horizon, just to the left of east. It'll be hard to find, but not impossible. Okay? So, Saturn, Jupiter and Mercury, or if you're going in order, Mercury, Jupiter, and then Saturn, in the mornings off toward the east. So there we go.
The moon is also really bright.
Oh, yeah, the moon is bright. Well, actually, that's a good lead-in, a good segue into what we're talking about next. The moon phases.
Yeah, the moon is going to be really bright because I literally saw it when I was playing baseball and it wasn't even dark out.
Yeah, I've been showing that to some of my students too. When we go out to do some rocket launches, I've been showing them like, hey, you can see the moon during the day. It's just not as obvious, so we tend not to see it.
It's actually really obvious to me since I'm used to it.
Well, that's true too. So as far as the moon goes, the full moon is on the 3rd. That is today, if you're getting this on Saturday. Then you have a week of waning gibbous moons where it's mostly lit, but it rises later at night. When the last quarter moon is on the 10th, that means it's visible starting at midnight and into the morning. Then you've got a week of morning crescents, where if you look east in the morning, you'll be able to see a nice crescent moon with the new moon, the darkest skies, on the 17th. The evening crescents then take over after that, where you look west after sunset and you see a crescent moon until the first quarter moon on the 26th. Then you've got another week of evening gibbous moons, and then the next full moon will be in July. But there are some really cool encounters here. And the first one... we talked about the Beehive Cluster in the intro, and this is pretty cool. I'm trying to get out to do this, and it's definitely the night tonight. We're recording this on Friday, tonight the 2nd, but it'll also be on the 3rd. Mars will be entering the Beehive Cluster.
What?
Yeah, so what that means is, so Mars is actually traveling across the sky. Okay. It's a wanderer, right? Okay. Because planet is the Greek word for wanderer. The planets wander around the sky, and it's actually going to wander in front of M44, or the Beehive Cluster. So what you do is you find that dull red dot in the sky, which is Mars, and then you take some binoculars out, or maybe even a telescope, and you can witness Mars being directly in front of M44, the Beehive Cluster. And it's named the Beehive Cluster because it resembles a swarm of bees. Also, the day before and the day after, Mars will be on either side of the cluster, but still definitely worth a look, maybe even a picture if you're able to do that. Then we've got about a week later, on the 9th and 10th, there's going to be a close encounter between the moon and Saturn. So you got to get up early, look southeast, find the gibbous moon, and Saturn will be about 8 degrees above and to the left on the morning of the 9th. And on the 10th, the moon will have moved to be about 7 degrees down and to the left of Saturn. Then what happens on the 13th is the Beehive Cluster's second neighbor, second...
Wanderer,
yeah.
Second buddy.
Yeah.
Second
friend coming over. Sure. So what's going to happen there is Venus is going to pass through the Beehive Cluster. Not quite through the middle like Mars did, but pretty close. And so you got find that bright, brilliant dot in the sky, which is Venus. And then you take some binoculars out or a telescope. And then you can witness Venus being almost directly in M44. Of course, the day before and after, Venus will be on either side. But again, definitely worth a look at that telescope or some binoculars out, because the Beehive Cluster you can see with your naked eye if you're in really dark skies and you have good eyesight, but that's not a lot of us. So I would take out at least binoculars, if not get a
telescope.
Yeah. So next thing is actually the next night, the 14th, close encounter between the moon and Jupiter. So you got to get up early after 3 a.m., look east, find a very thin crescent moon with bright Jupiter only 2 degrees to the right. Very, very close. That's 2 pinky widths away. That's pretty good. And then we've got the 21st, the summer solstice, the longest day of the year for the northern hemisphere, the shortest for the southern. And I have some explanations as to why in the show notes, but that's pretty cool. We're getting to the longest day of the year. And then on that same time of the summer solstice, from the 20th to the 22nd, we have another close encounter, and that's between the moon, Venus
and Mars.
Oh, yeah. And so you got to check this out right after sunset, like right after sunset. So you look west and you'll easily be able to see Venus being super bright. And each day, Mars will be about 5 degrees or about 3 finger widths up and to the left of Venus. So you got Venus, then 3 finger widths up and to the left is Mars. Now, the best part, though, is the moon that's traveling through. Okay. On the 20th, a super duper thin moon will be about 13 degrees down and to the right of Venus. So it'll be hard to see. In fact, I think Venus is going to be easier to see than the moon in this case, because it's so thin and so low in the sky. But then on the 21st, the moon moves to be just 3 degrees to the right of Venus, and it's going to be a little bit bigger and a little bit easier to spy. Yeah, we got to go out and see this.
Yeah, me and Dad have not been doing much astronomy.
No, we've been doing too much baseball. Nah, not too much baseball. We've just been doing a lot of baseball.
Yeah, which I love.
Yeah. Now, so then, 21st, the moon is just 3 degrees to the right of Venus. And then on the 22nd, the moon moves up and to the left again, forming a nice curved line with Mars and Venus. Definitely worth a look. Now, pictures are going to be cool, but they're going to prove to be difficult because the relative brightness of each of them make it tough, because Venus is going to be super bright, Mars is rather dim, the moon is there, and that's somewhere in the middle probably, but then you got the blue of the sky still there. So, you know, it's a challenge. I'm not going to say you can't do it, but it is going to be a challenge. So, quick summary, you've got the Beehive Cluster on the 2nd getting Mars, and on the 13th getting Venus. We've got the 9th and 10th, you see the Moon and Saturn. 14th is the Moon and Jupiter. And a close encounter at sunset with Moon, Venus, and Mars on the 20th to the 22nd. So let's take a quick moment to take a look at some
constellations!
So I broke it down into two. We've got the after dinner and before bed. That's one. And then we've got the before work, right? So we got the after sunset, and then we've got way early in the morning. So, okay, after dinner and before bed, you've got the spring constellations still out there. You've got the Big Dipper, Bootes, Virgo, Corona Borealis, and Hercules. So here's what you do. Gaze almost vertically as you face the northwest, and you'll easily find the Big Dipper. 7 very bright stars that form a spoon shape. Hey, what's a constellation that the Big Dipper is in? Come on, you know this.
Ursa Major!
Yeah, there you go. And so it's in Ursa Major. The Big Dipper is just an asterism, but the Big Dipper includes the whole bear. But anyway, so you follow the tail, the handle of the Dipper, you follow that curve to the next bright star you see, about 20 degrees away. And that star's name is Arcturus. So you follow the arc to Arcturus, and that's the brightest star in Bootes, which looks like a kite. And so now you go back to that same curve, and you follow it from the handle to Arcturus, but then you speed on to Spica, which is the brightest star in Virgo. Now, you go back to Bootes, except just to the left of Bootes are 7 stars that form the northern crown called Corona Borealis. Corona for crown, Borealis for northern. And it looks more like a small bowl or a sea in the sky. And then you just continue a little further to the left, and you'll find the Keystone asterism, which is part of the constellation
Hercules.
That's right. So we've got M13, the Hercules cluster. It's in between two of Hercules's keystone stars. It's known as the best globular cluster in the northern skies, and it's a fuzzy spot in binoculars, even cooler through a telescope. Now, we have the spring constellations, but we also have these summer constellations as well. We've got Lyra, Cygnus, and Aquila. Now, look pretty much straight above you and find the brightest star up there. And you should notice a parallelogram attached to it. And this is the brightest star, Vega, with the constellation Lyra the Harp. Now, directly above you will be Cygnus the Swan with its brightest star, Deneb. It will look like a large cross, or if you expand your vision a little farther, it looks like a swan flying above you. And then below Cygnus and Lyra is the third constellation of the summer triangle, Aquila, the
Eagle,
with its brightest star, Altair. Now, the three bright stars in this one are, they can easily be confused for Orion's Belt, given their similar size. However, they are not in line quite as straight, and they are part of a bigger diamond shape. So use a star chart. And if you use the star chart, you can also find the Dolphin, Delphinus, and Sagitta, which I believe is the arrow, if I remember correctly. They're also in that area as well. Okay. And lastly, before work, you can start seeing some of the fall constellations like Pegasus and Andromeda. So you look directly south and most of the way up the sky, and you'll find the very big and almost perfect square of Pegasus, the winged horse. And now if you look to the top left of the square, you'll see three pairs of stars creating a neat double curve to the left and up from that corner star. That is
Andromeda.
Andromeda, yep. And if you have a little extra time, find the middle pair of stars, connect those two stars with a line, and move toward the inside of the curve about the same distance as those stars are apart. And that's where you will find
the Andromeda Galaxy.
The Andromeda Galaxy, right? Which is just a faint, fuzzy with your naked eye, if you live in dark skies. But the cool part is you are looking at billions of stars that are almost 3 million light years away.
3 million light years away.
That means you're looking at the galaxy as it was 3 million years ago.
What?
And then that is spread out across 150,000 light years across. That means to get from one side, for light, the fastest thing, light, that goes 7 times around the Earth in a second, if we shot it that way, it would take light 150,000 years to get from one side of the galaxy to the other. How cool is that?
What?
Yeah.
What?
So, that is it for June of 2023. Don't forget that this podcast is found on my Podbean page, mrweb.podbean.com, on Stitcher and iTunes as well. There's also usually a video version on my YouTube channel, and I can be found on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube as at MrWebPV, MrWebPV. And
the Pecre Valley Planetarium and its events
and updates
are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as at PV Planetarium.
There we go. Well, Corso, what do you think? What do you think is the most exciting thing that you're going to want to get out and see?
I'm not sure. I feel like I just want to do all of them.
Well, that makes sense. I think the easiest one will be that 20th to 22nd, the Moon, Venus, and Mars.
Yeah, so the...
Since we don't need any telescopes, but I really want to see the Beehive Cluster. I want to get some pictures of that. So, but anyway, yeah. Well, thank you so much. Here are Corso and me wishing you very clear, dark skies for the month of June. See ya.
Bye.